Welcome to the Bucky Beeman Audio Adventure. I am excited to talk about commercial real estate, which seems to be a theme if you've watched any of my podcasts on YouTube or listened to them. Thank you for checking them out, and I'm excited today to be with my guest. Blake, go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
How's it going, man? Good. Awesome. Well, my name's Blake Haggett. I'm based out of Boise, Idaho. For those of you that have checked out Bucky's stuff, we're far, far from each other, but I'm a commercial real estate. I wouldn't say I'm a broker. I'm an agent, but I have a team that I'm kind of branded under. So hopefully I kind of grow into that brokerage realm someday, but I've been practicing commercial real estate on the licensed side for about 4 years now. And prior to that, I worked for a property management company. So I learned kind of all the ins and outs of the business prior to getting into the brokerage world, which really helped me with a leg up, as I already had some contacts in the business. I had done some deals for the landlord group that I had worked for. So I kind of had my feet wet already, but that's a little backstory about me. I know we both play in the social media world, but yeah.
You know, the great thing about the internet is we know each other, but we don't know each other.
We were just talking about that before we went live, is how well we know each other, and we've never had a phone conversation, but I'd still say that we have a good relationship.
100%. So when did you officially get interested in real estate? What age were you at?
You know, to jump back a little bit, I think to give you guys a little bit more context listening to this today, is my grandfather was a self-storage developer in Idaho for the last 50 plus years now. So he was a college professor. And one of his students came to him and said, let's build these metal tin sheds and people will pay us to put their stuff in it. And at the time he was a professor and didn't believe that that was going to be a profitable model, but said, hey, why not? Let's invest and take a chance on this concept. And, you know, fast forward 45, 50 years now, we're one of the top largest privately held storage companies in the country, actually. And we're just based in Idaho. So long story short, I watched my grandfather kind of find a lot of success and financial freedom in that realm. I still work for them today. They're one of my best and biggest clients. And, you know, when I wouldn't put a particular age to it, but shortly thereafter college, I attended the Tony Robbins seminar, and it really kind of broke the bond of trying to create financial freedom for myself. And based on a lot of the books and whatnot that I imagine a lot of the listeners also read, you know, creating that income stream and that reoccurring revenue, even though it takes work, but you're able to manage and systematize that in a way to, you know, achieve your financial goals. And so when I saw that real estate could be, you know, one of those avenues or pathways to create that financial flexibility, you know, I look at money as a tool rather than, you know, a lot of people perceive money as not always the best thing to have a lot of money, but I look at it as a tool. But once I was able to kind of realize that, I figured, and I really enjoy the aspect of real estate, the interaction with other human beings. So, you know, a lot of, for example, the stock market, you're trading with a computer, you know, nowadays, and who knows where real estate will be in the future. But right now, yeah, I think it is where it is because of the relationship aspect of real estate. And that's one of the big things that I really enjoy about the industry. So, you know, like I'm saying, long story short, family's been in it for years, and I just, there's a lot of great things about it, in my opinion.
What did you go to college for?
My degree is in entrepreneurship management, and a few interesting things about that. If I had to pay my way through college, I don't know if I would have gone. Family paid for college, so I'll admit that. But there were a few things that I did take away from it. I learned how to go to class. I learned how to time manage myself. It also gave me a chance to grow up. I learned a lot about myself through college, not necessarily the material in it. I actually had a really cool entrepreneur professor that I had the ability to take three classes with, because that was kind of my degree. And a lot of people ask me, how'd you get a degree in entrepreneurship? Aren't you supposed to start a business? We had some really fun opportunities to at least attempt it through college. So it was kind of a trial and error as I was getting that piece of paper that to many doesn't mean a ton, but to most it means a lot still, I think, is that college degree. But that's what I went to college for. It's pretty interesting.
And then shortly after, did you get right into property management, or did you do some things in between that?
You know, I didn't do anything in between. My junior year in college, I started working for our family's property management company. And we've got three separate divisions than that. And when I say my grandfather started storage, as his portfolio grew, he was very diversified. So he also developed some shopping centers here in Idaho. And then also dabbled 8 to 10 years ago, our smallest thing of our family portfolio, but worked in property management to roughly 4 years. And, you know, I started off in the family business as a maintenance guy, changing light bulbs, ceiling tiles, you know, cleaning out dumpsters, you know, the grunt work of the business and property management. But I learned a ton from that. And then slowly and shortly thereafter transitioned into kind of more of the accounting. So learned kind of the back end of property management, you know, what I'd need to do for owners, what they would request, and kind of learned how to work with, you know, an owner from that property management standpoint, rent collection, all that fun stuff. So I was able to kind of see the inner workings of a business. And then to kind of lead into that next step of my career into commercial real estate was I decided to get licensed. So our family did not have a broker in our market that was kind of their go-to. We'd kind of dabble around, and I think that that's good for any real estate company that doesn't have someone in-house, is to, you know, what your broker doesn't know, they don't know. So sometimes I think developers and whatnot can get caught up in using the same broker over and over and over again, yet they're missing out on some probably pretty decent opportunities. So I became in-house while at the same time starting my own company, KZV Real Estate. And what I really wanted to specialize and focus on with that, not only representing the deals for my family, but as you know, is the huge, huge play in social media and commercial real estate right now. There's so much available real estate out there. It's crazy to see. And guys like you are taking up a lot of it day by day. So.
Feels like I'm.
It kind of leads me into my social media play.
That's awesome. It feels like I'm taking up just a little piece of it because the world is so big. But once you start making some noise and don't stop, it catches on. So,
have you noticed your business accelerate pretty quickly due to commercial real estate?
Due to social media?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would say my brand locally has grown to another level. I had a really big developer mention to me. He's like, "You're like on your way to being a movie star." I was like,
"Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?"
I'm like, "I guess he could say that." I mean, there's one reason he invited me into the office is because, you know, I'm making noise and he sees me out there doing deals and getting things done and the names getting brought up and our firms getting brought up. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting way of building business versus the old way of shaking hands and building that relationship over years and years and years and years. It's the internet attack, as I'll call it, where you're building your brand and you got to be good at what you do. There's no doubt, but continually pushing your brand out there to just be in front of people, almost in my mind, it feels obnoxiously like I'm popping up a lot, but it's working, so I'm not going to stop.
And that's business, right? You know, there's no fine line between too little or too much. It's as much as you can do, in my opinion.
Yep. And that's a personal judgment.
Very, very.
So you get into the commercial real estate game. When was your company actually founded?
2016, I believe. It was just, I started a little LLC for myself. You know, to get into it a little bit, I kind of spent 2019 really trying to add the aspect of residential real estate. So I burned a lot of time and a lot of energy this last year, really trying to focus on going too wide rather than staying narrow focused on my one to three things that my company was good at. I tried to do too much. Just recently at the end of the year, I ended up kind of closing up shop on that. Yes, it was a profitable division for a while. It just didn't balance the way that I saw it balancing with my own commercial kind of book of business that I had created over the last few years. But it's been an interesting journey. And I would say that even though we closed up shop on the residential end of things, there was a lot that I took away from that. It doesn't mean I couldn't create some sort of, you know, commercial referral exchange with all the connections I've made in residential real estate. That is probably my next avenue of kind of new additions is some sort of platform to provide, you know, the knowledge and resources to the residential world, because I think that they're two totally separate industries in ways. And I think that if you can bridge that gap, there's a lot of not only commission dollars to be made, but major benefit to the clients. I see far too often residential agents attempting to do a commercial deal. And I speak very firmly about this because I've seen some mistakes personally on some deals and close friends of mine that have really hindered and hurt some of my clients, or not my clients, but clients in general. And that tends to bother me quite often, whether it's a loss of dollars or a lawsuit due to some language in a lease that just wasn't reviewed properly, in my opinion. So I think that the combination of the two within my company didn't thrive too well, because not only a conflict of interest, but at the same time, I was trying to wear one too many hats, you know. And if you've ever tried to do both commercial and residential, it's a totally different game. And I was wearing one too many hats, you know, because I would count that same with you as one of the divisions of our companies or our brands is our brand and social media. And that's a whole different thought process to, you know, an LOI, an offer. Like, you're kind of in two different spaces, and we've tried to blend those as best as possible, you know?
Right. It's funny you say that. And I just, someone called me, they were on their way. They wanted to meet to do an offer. I was like, I got a hard stop. I got an important meeting. They went over, thank you for being patient, but they have no idea what I'm doing on social media. I don't think, like, I would highly doubt they see anything that I'm doing on social media. And this is just coming out of having a listing and knowing them over the last 6 months and helping them get connected to the right resources. And so you're 100% right. Like, we are operating essentially two different functions or companies, it sometimes feels like. Well, you really take on this social media thing and make it is a full-time thing.
Exactly. And you caught me on the best day ever too, because I'm not in my usual suit. I'm in casual hoodie and some Chuck Taylors because I'm wearing my gym outfit for the morning. Dude, so those of you watching that know me, this is a one and only. Oh yeah, I can't take mine off because they're laced, but man, you got the Monday Crocs on, don't you?
You gotta be comfortable. You can't track a bunch of snow up into the office. It just gets way too bad.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I hear you. So talk about social media and what it's meant for your business, and also talk about some of your struggles with social media, whether it be just processes and systems as we kind of hit on, or just convincing. I imagine with an older company, this whole social media thing is not only new to you, but it's new to the whole culture and company. So
yep. let's start small here and we can expand. So, you know, similar to you, probably 2-3 years ago, I noticed a large white space in the commercial real estate space area, you know, hashtags and things like that within the social media world. I was not a big social media user at all through high school, through college, didn't have Twitter. Just had Instagram for friends and family, had maybe 100, 200 followers. And those were just close buddies that I'd share pictures with, basically. Obviously got into Gary Vaynerchuk and really kind of took it to the next level. Said, hey, can I add this to my business and how can I benefit? But right away, I was like, nobody in commercial real estate. So I want to be, when someone looks up commercial real estate globally, which we have that ability to through social media, is you have the ability to be global. Soon with Elon Musk's help, we'll be trying to capture the galaxy's attention. I say that and a lot of people laugh at me. Anyways, I noticed just in commercial real estate, it was such an ancient and an older demographic that all the work that we put in social media today, I think we aren't going to see the true benefit of that for 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 years from now. Even though we are seeing an immediate reaction, which is kind of nice. You know, you never thought that you could get a client through an Instagram post. And now it's pretty standard for guys like you and I to either, you know, do a lease through, not through Instagram, but connecting the right people. One of our colleagues likes to say that I'm marrying tenants and landlords. So how can you connect the two parties and either fill that void for the investor or the landlord, but at the same time, helping those tenants find that right space. So, you know, social media has been one of those things that it's really hard to track that exact ROI, you know, and that immediate gratification sometimes doesn't come. But when it does come, you're like, holy smokes, this thing actually works, you know, and the rise of kind of what I was doing 3 or 4 years ago on Instagram and how I've accumulated such a large following and attention base is, you know, I was running paid advertising 3 or 4 years ago on my posts. And when I'd spend $1, $2, I could reach 15 to 20,000 people because it was cheap. Now, if you want to boost a post and due to the algorithm situation, you know, you want to spend $1, $2, that's going to get you maybe an extra 100 eyeballs instead of 15,000 eyeballs. So, I've noticed a huge reduction in that ability, but at the same time, it's still, in my eyes, underpriced attention. I pay for CoStar to get my listings out, but I do that because of the landlords wanting CoStar and LoopNet. Now, I piggyback a lot of my social media on top of that, and that seems to be 9 out of 10 times more effective, and I haven't been able to prove that from a logistical standpoint yet, but I'm working on that. And you probably are as well. It's when you sit down with a landlord and you can give them this listing packet or listing presentation and say, guess what? We don't do CoStar and LoopNet because of this. Now, it's different per market due to their magnitude of growth and their resources. But at the same time, you know, I've won a few listings recently just due to the brunt force of saying I use social media and we're going to do a property video and it's going to be on YouTube and, you know, you're going to get X, Y, and Z amount of impressions, and impressions don't mean much until you get the building sold or leased. So it's all about building that data warehouse. Now, that is another large reason why I think a lot of people haven't heard my full story about me being involved in my family business. It's because I don't market through them. I'll market some of their properties on occasion, but they play the old school route and don't want to have anything to do with it. You know, I built them a resume, but that's about it for social media for them. It's kind of interesting to perceive it and see. I think it hinders their growth quite a bit, but, you know, I'm not the president with the hat on, so I'm not calling the shots, but I can show them that it works, and hopefully someday they'll come around to wanting to be more involved, you know.
Heck yeah.
So I hope I answered all your questions through that. I know social media is a long-winded conversation.
Yeah, you did. You know, one thing that comes to mind for me is my father owns a little drive-through burger restaurant. My sister works there, and they sell hot dogs, burgers, french fries. And if you look at any of their Instagram, Facebook, a little bit of Twitter, it's all me. And, you know, I'm operating on nada, you know, like zero budget, just because I haven't been able to show them, like, you know, these posts have led to this many more customers. It's about an annual, is our customer count up or not? If it's similar, we can't say that it's really helping, but again, it's such a long-term game. I'm such a believer in it. I'll keep doing it with Nada because I just know it's a good long-term investment for the brand, for the family business, for all that's involved. And so I'm with you. I'm trying to get better at showing how and the way.
Yeah.
The way I'm doing it is, one, actually taking dollars from customers that have listings and getting them to deploy it with my help into Facebook ads and then showing them what we're getting as a result. You are 100% correct that, you know, if their building isn't leased or sold, it's like, I don't care how many impressions I have, but I can tell you that it is making a difference because I've had in the last 2 weeks, four random people asked me about a specific listing that's 30 minutes to the south of where we live from this community, because my demographic, I got to adjust it a little. I have two going, but one's right around our city. And they're like, how's that building going on in Lake City? It's like, what, why are you asking me that? It's because you saw my ad. And so it's like, I can feel it. But you gotta be able to show it down into.
Now, have you, it's interesting to ask you this, because you are also dabbling in that restaurant aspect of social media. Isn't it so much easier to, in ways, be able to provide that value from a restaurant standpoint? Let's say sales increase by 10%. You can go, oh, that's because of my advertising. Where in commercial real estate, we're a little bit pinched, because it's like, okay, we got 20,000 impressions, no lease signed yet. You know, it's even such a longer play. Like, have you kind of witnessed that a little bit in your social media world?
Yeah, 100%. And again, though, I think as far as branding, it can build up the brand. It can build up a property. Property has a brand. It can just build up that attention at a completely different level than what everybody else is doing on LoopNet, CoStar, Crexy, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. Like, holy buckets. It can, to get people to talk about a building that never even knew it existed 30 minutes away from where it exists is like, how they aren't going to LoopNet.
Didn't you just have something go live on the news recently?
Dude, 100, yes. So that's a good, maybe a good segue is like, you've got to have a good relationship with the media. The
segue.
So my relationship with the media on Twitter and Instagram is good. Like, I know the people that are posting on the radio stations. I know the people posting on the news channels. I follow them. I interact with them. So when I post interesting stuff, it has a higher chance, I believe, of catching the mainstream media. And I listed a building that has some history. It's an old Carnegie Library. And sure enough, the media picked it up. First, it was the radio station. Once the radio station picked it up, then the news channel picked it up. Next thing you know, I'm in the building with the news talking about my listing. Like, I mean, I don't know how I put this down into data, but is your real estate in your listing on the news? Like, come on.
I saw that, what was it, a week or two ago, and I was just like, wow, man, he has really, he's made it. His 15 seconds of fame on the news.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's in a community.
No, but honestly, that's like the thing that I love the most about, not only is, or as commercial real estate professionals, we are growing our local database. I'm learning so many things from you and watching you through social media of things that I can implement into my business to help do my clients a better service. Mm-hmm. Cool. Another huge avenue of social media that I think a lot of people miss on. They think of, oh, I just need to get my postings out. I need to get this out. I need to get this out. Like, I'm going to just only post my listings. Like, I think far too many people miss the aspect of things you can learn from others that are working. Like, and I follow all the news channels. I've never engaged with them the way I should for more and exposure. And it's, there's that fine line of what you're like asking too much and just being a good Samaritan and providing value to the client or the customer or your county. You know, it's interesting to watch, because I think that not only from our conversations, but just seeing what you've done recently, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things that I'm missing out on, you know, that I could do better at, you know? And I think that we all do this, especially the ones involved in commercial real estate that are active on social. We learn from each other all the time, you know?
Right. One tip would be, I mean, we see things before other people do in the industry that we're in. And when the time is right, you know, you often think like, I got to be the one to break the news, because if I break the news, then everybody looks at me as a source. And I think that's a fair model. But what if you also share that news with the media outlets? And so I will send tips to the media outlets through the channels and say, and it's individuals within the channel and say, hey, just, did you know this is happening? Did you know? Because then it's like, one, they're appreciative, but
wow,
that relationship.
And it's like I just said, people don't know what they don't know until they know it.
Exactly. So what's been some of your
news, for example? You know, it's like you're sending the news, the news.
Just because of the industry we're in. So what's some of the struggles you've had with social media? Let's talk about that. You have a young family now. I mean, I know that.
Good question.
I know that from
yes. I do, you know, struggles. One, you know, like I was discussing earlier, I think the reduction in attention has hindrance my activity on the platforms a little bit, probably the last 3 months, kind of going into Christmas. I was having so much success with it. And when that slowed down, I was like, okay, it was easy, but it's refocusing my energy and whatnot into realizing it's still valuable, but it's not going to be as easy as it was, you know, to be honest with you. You probably are familiar with it too. The algorithm changes overnight sometimes, and you have no control over that. All you can do is keep producing content and keep engaging with your community. So, you know, one of the struggles that I've ran into is just, I guess, that attention hasn't been as much as I was receiving. And so kind of that reevaluation of that has been a struggle of mine, as well as the consistency of it. I used a videographer for probably about 8 months last year and ran into just, you know, the inner workings of business, having an employee. You know, when they're not cutting the weight, it, you know, reflects on you in ways. And so I think the production of content, as well as getting so used to producing very high level professional content, that I would struggle to just present content in general. And you do a great job of staying very consistent with what's going out. And you're always, you know, building step by step, where I think I was doing weight like a ton at the start. And then I had to pull back because I started to get so biased on what I was producing that I wasn't always happy with the content. Whereas I need to consistently remind myself, is more content is better. The level of professionalism, I think, is important as well. But at the same time, you know, sharing that story with others, as well as just getting content out, is so much more valuable than the quality necessarily, you know?
And it's so easy to get content out if you remove that barrier of your own judgment that it needs to be the perfect piece of content. And
totally.
I've now started doing some screen records where I just go through a tutorial and it's like, that's a piece of content. Like, does not need to be lighting and all this fancy stuff.
Exactly. And it's, to be honest, I think it's getting out of that comfort zone too. Because as a creative and a content producer, I feel like I swing in and out of that all the time. I'm never just like rock solid with, oh, I'm doing all this content. It comes in like a creativity wave for me. So there's weeks where I'm just like doing awesome, and there's weeks where I just get shy. And to be honest, it's like, well, it feels uncomfortable to post a video about this, or it feels uncomfortable to share this about my life. And you kind of, to me anyway, I have these kind of ebbs and flows and these swings in my social media. So that's one of the struggles, is just being comfortable with, you know, showing who you are and what you know, because we all know something that could be valuable to someone else, you know?
Right. How about a success story? What can you give as a success story using social media?
So I'm going to more media on this. I leased a 13,000 square foot office building using a virtual tour to an offsite company out of state. That was just, it was a kind of a success story because I had just purchased the Matterport virtual tour camera. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, thought that it was going to make my business explode. And right away, the first building I scan, I get this lease done with these guys that didn't even see it before they signed on the dotted line. I was like, whoa, this is going to change my business. Fast forward 6 months, I did it on like 4 more properties and like no bites, like didn't work. But I would say that, as well as just, you know, I would say that's a pretty good success story. Yeah, I count them all as wins. You know, when I get a deal done for a client that was really difficult, that's a success story to me, whether it came from social media or not. I get a lot of business through social media on the tenant rep side. So small business owners, I can not only help them with their real estate kind of strategy, but also mentor and advise them in the marketing world, because you know as well as I do, the number one thing for small business is social media. I can't tell you how many businesses in Boise that are thriving and doing well, opening second, third, fourth locations because of social media and the attention that social media brings, whether it's customers in their business posting stories or them having a hashtag of the week or something that just creates this buzz, and then everybody else wants to go to it. So I think that in regards to your question, you know, there's not one that really sticks out to me, but I will tell you the very first deal I ever did in the business outside of the deals I did for my family, I still haven't been paid on. And it was a $500 renewal for a little dance studio. And man, let me tell you, that deal was, and that broker was working me, didn't want to pay me, didn't want to negotiate. And I learned so much through that deal. Still didn't get paid my $500, but what happened was she gave me 3 referrals that turned into deals. And for that to be kind of one of my first deals I had ever worked on in the business just showed me that, and I tell people this a lot, depending on your level of commercial real estate that you're in, you need 3 to 5 clients that you just take really good care of. I could say if it's a developer, you just need 1 good relationship. And really, really harvest and thrive and do your best work for that one person, because you don't know how many deals they're going to do or what their plans are in the future, but giving it 100% in every deal that you do. I know, you know, I could go do more deals, but I'm very cautious about what I put my stamp of approval on, you know, and what my name is on that deal, you know, and you probably do something very similar. I could take on 3 or 4 more deals. But I'm very cautious about that. And you probably see it too. You probably generate a ton of leads using social media, but you have to be a little bit picky on, you know, making sure you're doing an adequate job, you know?
Yeah. I'm not as good at saying no as probably you are.
Well, to be honest, I have a hard time saying no as well. I say yes to everything, but you know, when it's out prospecting and you get handful of business cards, knowing those are leads, they might sit on my desk for a little while because I want to make sure and take care of the clients in progress, you know?
Yeah. Is there somebody online that you're watching, doesn't have to be in commercial real estate, that you're just like, wow, they are doing a good job at social media? Any small business, anything in general come up?
You know, there's a local small business, and it's one of my clients actually, Boise Juice Company. And they're a small juice shop in town, and they started with me when they had 1 location. Now they have 3. We're working on their 4th. They've been really good about pushing their company from the small business aspect online. So it's pretty funny. I know that some of my clients on the media side, and I'll do some client consulting on the side for social media and whatnot, but they were one of the clients out of the gate that they taught me some stuff on social media and how to be consistent, how to post, how to share the story. But in regards to kind of that higher level person, you as well as me, I really like what Gary Vee is doing. I kind of go in and out of paying attention to his stuff. He just launched a new podcast called Weekly Vee that I'm really, really excited about. Mainly because I've wanted to see the inner workings of what he does on more of a daily basis rather than some of the hoorah guru type stuff. One thing that he said on his last podcast that really intrigued me, or his Weekly Vee, was he was talking about how he's invested in an esports team. And when I attended the Tony Robbins conference 4 years ago, Tony had just invested in an esports team and purchased. So we all know where that's going, and to see Gary involved in it and the business aspect of the way I think of what's coming, I think that, you know, I'm really excited to see what he has to produce on that. And it's a weekly 15-minute episode, so it's kind of worth my time in ways. So I would say for people that I pay attention to, as well as I've been really inclined to pay attention to more commercial real estate people on social media as well, just because like what I was saying earlier, we all learn something from someone else. And it's really cool to see the adoption of commercial real estate in social media and how different everybody does it. you know, I've been very intrigued by the guy, Kyle, how do you say his last name? Sienna? Is it Sierra?
Exactly.
Yeah. So just, he's been an inspiration to me because he's got that foot in the door with some of the higher level, not speaking, but those organizations that is actually giving social media a chance, you know, like ICSE and some of these bigger conventions are actually bringing it on as panel discussion and education. And it's pretty interesting to see. So
I got one for you. So Thirst Drinks, if you look up that.
Ooh.
So how I first heard about it was the Ethan is now I know the owner's name. Ethan showed up on a Gary V call-in on one of his Q and A's or podcasts that he does. And I'm like, who is this guy? So then I go follow him and it's like, wow, he's got his whole team involved. It's great to see, you know, so much of the comments you hear, especially in the restaurant business, is the kids are always on their phone and they're never paid. And he allows it. Whoops. My mic went out. Hold on. There. My mic went out.
I can still hear you.
Yes. He allows it and he encourages it. And so that's Thirst Drinks. And then he's got his own account, which I think is Ethan at Thirst Drinks. And then his employees got their own accounts. Let's say Cadence at Thirst Drinks. I mean, it's impressive to say the least.
He's built like a little media machine in ways it seems like. And it, I mean, that only reflects in, you know, positive cash flow, if you know what I mean.
Yes, exactly. So that's the one I would look at. And then
Thirst
I'm
Drinks, I like that.
And then I'm always impressed by Eddie Gonzalez. That guy is, he's everywhere and doing it all well from what I can see.
All day, every day, man. Those drone videos. Yeah. Eddie was the first one that I ever met on social media, actually in person, that we had kind of created that relationship online and then actually bonded and became more of friends and acquaintances. But man, he inspires me every single day and he's got plenty of time to do it, man. He's doing awesome.
All right, Blake, thank you so much for joining. This has been I could go on for hours, but we should probably both get on with our day, shouldn't we?
We should. I should get back to the Monday blues of, you know, the computer work day. So, but anyway, Bucky, it was such a pleasure and I can't wait to have you on my podcast and pick your brain about everything you're doing. I know that you're doing it much bigger than I am, to be honest, and I aspire to be like you someday.
Thank you. And I appreciate everything you're doing as well. The one thing I definitely can say you have is that brand consistency. I just like your brand and the way it looks. And it's like, it's cool. I don't feel like I don't go for it. I don't have the cool.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
If people want to find out more, let's say your podcast, you on social, where can they go, Blake, to find your links?
Yep. Good question. I would say probably the easiest and best place to reach out to me, find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm a king at responding to all DMs on those two platforms. That's another thing for you listeners and watchers today is, you know, use and utilize that DM feature because you have the ability to connect with anybody and everybody. I'm buddies with Gary V's sister and we DM each other all the time. And it's always about positive content. It's never like I'm asking for anything for her, but you're able to build relationships through those features. So best place to get a hold of me, Instagram, DMs are the number one. If not, LinkedIn's a close second. And to find me on Instagram, it's @Blake_Hags, HAGZCRE. All right, man. Thanks.